bid the Holy Spirit fly away and say, I will return to my place until you know what you have done and you come humbly in repentance before me. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. I love his presence and I don't want him to be grieved. Amen? And that is why we are looking at things like this. We want an atmosphere and a place where the Spirit of God is pleased to move. Glory to God. I know I've preached this message before on the test of humility. Amen. I believe that every day we should be checking ourselves to see the level of humility in our lives. You know, when I was even thinking of this, I said, God, I'm not even qualified to preach this message because I've missed it many times. Over 100 times. Hallelujah. I'm not even qualified. But you know, we don't wait until we are perfect to preach a message. As long as it's the truth, because we learn on the job. We are all learning as we are going. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
As long as that desire is there, that God, I just want to be humble. People will look at me and say, oh, you're a very humble woman of God. I say, hey, Father, thank you. Hey, oh, Jesus, I want to be more humble. You know, I remember I went to Kenya to minister, and one servant of the Lord, who has a massive church, came to me and said, oh, woman of God, the Lord said I should come to you to pray for me. That humility that is in your life, to impart it into my life. I say, hey, Jesus. I think Pastor Nana was with us that time. Hey, oh, humility. Father, I'm still trying, you know. Hey, I'm praying for the man. Inside of me, I'm saying, hey, Father, I hope this man, I hope he knows what he's saying. Hey, I say, thank you, Jesus. Father, I have humility. Bless him with humility. In the name of Jesus, I need to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we must understand that God himself is a humble God. Because if God can, you know, come into the world in human flesh to come and stay with us, to tabernacle with men, to condescend so low to our level, hallelujah. When he put himself in a capsule, he said, a body you are prepared for me, a body, human body. God came in, God, the creator of the whole universe, who can just, you know, wave his hand and everything collapses. He humbled himself and came into the womb of a virgin called Mary so that he can dwell among us. Not only dwell among us, and dwell in us. So he's a humble God. The Bible tells us about Jesus that he left the glory of heaven. He had it. He had everything. But he decided to lay them aside so that he can step into the earth realm and come and empathize with us. The Bible says we do not have a high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because at all points he was tempted, just like us, God being tempted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like us. There are many things that God does that amazes me. For instance, God allows us to come into his place. That's what prayer is. When he invites us, it's a privilege to come into the space of God and to begin to make petitions before him. He humbled himself to say, come near me. Who can come before God? Who can stand before everlasting body? For God allowed it to happen. Hallelujah. Because if it was in the Old Testament, you know, if somebody comes before God, they fall down and die. But we thank God for the new and the living way, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he has made open for us, that we can come with boldness. We can come with confidence into the presence of God. And he doesn't cast us away and say, who do you think you are? Why are you coming near me? Do you know I'm God? Masha Kalebo. He humbled himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Paul was talking here. He says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Beloved, every child of God goes through a test. There was a time I preached on various tests that we go through. Because God is not a blind promoter. God promotes us according to the level of the test that we pass. And when you pass a test and you move to one level, as you move to another level, there's another test waiting for you there. We never finish. As long as you are going higher, there will be tests on your path. I'm telling you. And so it says, God is the one that tests our heart, not man. And we want to please him. So that when he tests our heart, he will find us faithful. There are tests of humility, tests of faithfulness, glory, tests of obedience. He will take us through all those tests. Some of us have been through that. And I must say some of us have failed sometimes. And sometimes it's bad. And you know, the level of test that you go through is determined by the assignment, the call, the weight of the glory that you are supposed to carry. So you can't compare yourself to somebody else. God will take you through some rigorous testing because of where he's taking you to.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And you're not going to look at this person and say, oh, God, why me? What have I done? Did I kill Jesus? Am I the only one? Look at this person. Their life is so rosy. But me, going through. Why will I stop going through and get to the other side? Hallelujah. There is a time and a season for everything.
Amen.
If you are not tested, then you are a bastard. Not me that says the Bible. God tells all of us. He takes us through something. Because he's taking us somewhere. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is attracted to the humble. He is drawn to the humble. He hates the proud. He says God resists the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. May God give me grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the higher you are going, the more humble you should be.
Amen.
The higher you are going, the more anointed you are, the more humble you should be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so God is attracted to humble people. He's drawn to humble people. He gives grace. He gives grace to those who are humble. But the Bible says he resists the proud. May God not stand in my way.
Amen.
May God give me grace because I need grace. When you see people, you say, oh, there's so much grace on their life. Oh, what grace. Ah, I covet this grace. You cannot covet the grace. You also must come down, bow low, so that this grace will come upon you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it is a road that is filled with thorns. It is a road that is painful. But it's going to take a lot of humility to lay down. Hallelujah. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Ah, God. Contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. He's going to take a lot of contrition, a lot of lying low, a lot of humility. For you to be revived. Because somebody who is proud will think they don't need to be revived.
Yes.
Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
We're talking about revival. Yeah, I don't need to be revived. It's you people that need revival, so you need to be praying. Pray for yourself. But immediately you do that, you have blocked something. Because you all need revival. Some people say, oh, if you say I'm not proud, that means you are proud. That person is proud, not me. You yourself, check yourself. Are you proud? Hallelujah. But I can see that he says, I will dwell in a high and holy place. I want to get to a high and holy place. Amen.
Amen.
The other day I was singing and thought, Lord, take me to a high place. Take me. It's not by song. Even after I finish singing it, I said, eh? It's not by song. Even if I say, oh God, take me to a high and holy place. You say, have you passed the test? For me to pull you to the next level. I dwell in high and holy place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm 138 verse 6. It says, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. For the proud he knows from afar. I don't want God to know me from afar. I want to come close to him. Because sometimes when this pride, when we are full of pride, He thinks before God. I know, for me, when I preach a message, God speaks to me, you know, very loud. And I want to hear what he says. So I'm not even preaching to people now, I'm also preaching to myself. Praise God. It's important because these things are important. I want to know what will make me please God. I want to know it. So when I know it, I just line up myself. I just hit myself on the head. You better let your head be correct. Because this thing you are doing now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In James chapter 4 verse 6, I've quoted it severally. It says God gives more grace. Therefore, he says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you see somebody flowing with so much grace, people will say, ah, see how this person is just calling this, doing that. Ah, it is the grace of God on their life. I've always said to people that you go to some churches, it's filled, and you're wondering, what are they preaching? Because you're looking at it, they're not even quoting Hebrew and Greek. That very simple message, but God is just there. Amen? Because of his grace. And we need to understand that there are levels of grace, and we grow from grace to grace. These are some of the things that help us to grow from grace to grace. It's not about somebody laying hands on us. There are some things that will not come into your life by laying on of hands. It's by the depth of humility and obedience to the voice of God. The other day I was sharing about how I went to preach in Germany. And I had prepared everything. I had been fasting before then. So I had made up my mind that the hotel they put me into, I'm going to eat the breakfast thoroughly. Because I'm not eating, you know, the English breakfast for a while. So I've been planning for that breakfast. I was planning for it. I was thinking of the tomato and the, you know, everything. And then I woke up in the morning, washing, and I just said, cancel breakfast. Eh? You know how the flesh is so loud? My flesh has already calculated how I'm going to eat that and enjoy it. And God said, you know, it's harder when, if God had told me 3 days before, and said you are going to fast on this day, it will be easy for me. I would have prepared my mind. But you know, there are, God graduates his test. He raises the bar. Because you've done this one. I'm raising the bar now. You see, now. In fact, as you are sitting in front of that food, stop. Cancel the food. Don't eat. Hey, Jesus. Fire for the next 3 days. Father, I've just gone to buy all kinds of things into the house, so I can cook and enjoy myself. That is where the sacrifice is. That's exactly where it is. Like I always say to people about fasting, it's not, you know, about you saying, oh, I fasted and I broke at 6 o'clock. Maybe before, you don't eat until 4, normally. Normally you don't eat until 4. So breaking your fast at 6 is not a sacrifice for you. But for somebody who breaks their fast at 12, who cannot do without eating until after 12, and they break at 6, that's a sacrifice. What am I saying? There are tests that God... And you see, God will orchestrate some situations. He will plan it in such a way that these things will keep happening in your life. I say to people all the time, if you don't pass the test, you are going to stay where you are. That's just the way it works. And you feel that things are not moving. Things are not moving. I don't know what's happening. Because you are repeating class. Things are not moving. Yes. Until you pass, you are not going. Hallelujah. And that is very important. And that's why I think God will help us, because sometimes we have started a journey. We are going. We are walking with God. We have yielded our flesh, because the flesh is an enemy. Your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is your flesh. It is self. The God of self. That wants to sit on the throne. And so you're already walking with God. You are just about to get to that's the destination. You are just about to get there, and you get here, and then something happens. And then you now start getting into the flesh and doing all kinds of things. You are going back. You're going back. And you're going to start again. Am I talking to somebody? Then you start again from here. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you're going again. Then something happens. God help us to be sensitive. And then it cuts it short again. Then you go back and start all over again. We must learn through our trials. It will be a mistake if we are not learning through our errors. And through all the issues and things that we are going through. I must learn my lesson so that next time I will get to that destination. I'm not going to stop it. This person threw an arrow at me. This one did it. That one did that. God will help us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May we understand that the enemy is trying to stop us, but we shall be unstoppable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God hates pride. Pride was what brought the enemy down. In Ezekiel 28 verse 14 to 17, he says of the enemy, the devil, he was called Lucifer at the time. He wasn't called the devil. What gave him a new name was because he fell. Because of the pride of his heart. He was now the devil. No, the diabolos. The wicked one. Amen. The accuser of the brethren. But before that, he was an archangel. An angel that had a lot to offer. You know, he was a cherub. Cherubims worship God. They are close to the throne of God. Hey, God help us. Because sometimes the closer we are, the more anointed we are more susceptible to fall. You know, somebody is standing here, when they fall, nothing. But when they are up there and they fall, what's the difference? They can break their neck. But somebody who is here and falls, nothing much, nothing. There's nothing anyway. So for the closer you are to the grace, the closer you are to the anointing, the higher you are in God, hey, the more dangerous it is. When we allow pride in our life. Amen?
Amen.
I'm teaching you what the Lord is teaching me. Hallelujah. And I'm praying to God, please, every day I want to be more humble. Because sometimes we miss it. But I must keep going for that. I must keep going for that. Hallelujah. He says, you are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. I'm the one that established you. But now your head has become big.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Ha! You were perfect in your way from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your training, you became filled with violence with it, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profaning out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. Your heart was lifted up. That is the pride. Did you say it?
Yes.
Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You must first of all realize there is something that makes people proud. God made this cherub. God gave him the power. And because he had all these things, it's like, I'm more than, I'm too much. I'm better than all the other angels, as you can see. I have all the instruments of worship in me. And the Bible says because of his beauty, he was even beautiful. I don't know if it's beauty or handsome, but there's a beauty that attracts you to this angel. And this is what God gave him. And because of that, nobody gets pride for nothing. It's because they feel they have something. And because I have that thing, I am better than everybody else. So his heart was lifted. This is somebody that started well. God forbid, God help us. That we don't start well and end up badly. And that's why we need to keep talking to ourselves all the time. Messages of humility, pride is not something you hear once in 40 years. You better be reading it every week. Because dying to self is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. You keep killing, Lord, kill this. Kill it. I don't want it to come alive. Die. Amen. I don't want it to get me into trouble. Praise God.
Amen.
The second thing you can see here is that he was, after his heart was lifted up, and it was because of his beauty. But also, I can see that God disciplined him. There is a reward or a punishment for Christ. Honestly, you don't fall. Bah. From grace. Fall down. They say pride goes before a... So that is it. It just happens. And you're wondering, oh, I'm trying to get back up. You fell. So you need to go back and repent. Repentance itself is humility. Because you think that, yeah, but you don't have anything. fine. I'm fine. Because we speak in tongues doesn't mean anything. They say, let's humble ourselves. Let's pray. Let's ask God to forgive us for this. I don't know. You know, I'm perfect. Hallelujah. You see how David repented? Because I don't understand the kind of repentance we have nowadays. Even when people are coming to altar God, they are chewing gum. They put their hand in their pocket. They are coming to God. There's no more penitence. No more humility. No more saying, God, I am so sorry for my sin. Some of us, when we sin, we cry for 3 days. Thank God, how? How did I even get there? How did I get to this place? Oh, deliver me. Hallelujah. But for some people, they say, yeah, the Bible says, yeah, if you're faithful and just, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because it's not about confessing. If we are not repentant, if we don't have a penitent heart, we will do it again. Something must happen. There must be a brokenness. You must be truly sorry. You must cry. You must say, ah, God! I'm not getting from this place. I've sinned against you. That was how David repented. He had committed such grave sin before God. He didn't go to God and say, well, you promised that day to see, I'm speaking phonetics. You know, your father, I just want to say, because you are a forgiving God. No! Hallelujah. He tore his clothes. Rags. Ashes. That's why we always joke, we bend in sackcloth and ashes. You know, in ashes, how can I, how? There was one time in my life, I don't know if it was 12, 15 years ago, there was something that I did. Ah! Even though I've asked God to forgive me, but you see, I was wearing black for some days. I was mourning. I wore black. Voice to church, voice at home. God, I'm showing you how sorry I am. I am truly mourning for this sin. And it's more like, okay, it's enough. I've seen you. I've seen your heart. I've seen you. Oh, God, are you sure? Are you sure? Amen. They get up. And then the Lord said to me something. He said, because of the way you humbled yourself, because of the way you wept, I'm going to increase the anointing on your life 10 times. So when God sees, when people see you, now God using you in the way He uses you, and you know, people are getting healed and delivered, and blind eyes and ears and all that. It didn't just start like that. I cherish my work with God.
Amen.
I cherish it very, very, very much. My Christianity should not be superficial. It should not be external. I know people who have a work with God when I see one. It's not that they don't make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. It's not that they don't fall sometimes. But there's a place they always find themselves back. The other day we were talking about the sure mercies of David. Can see the error. Look at what David did and compare it to what Saul did. But David knows how to go before God. He knows how to repent. He knows how to say, God, search my heart and try my ways. But Saul, excuse. Those are the signs of pride. When you are being corrected and you are giving excuse, those are the signs of pride. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? I used to do that. And when I knew that, this thing is wrong, I said, that's it. I'm not doing that again. Whether I'm right or not. Once I'm being corrected, especially by an authority figure. Whether I'm right or not, I'm not saying anything. Yes, Lord. Okay, thank you very much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's what we think we have that sometimes make us proud. I have more money than them. I have a PhD. They don't know. I got my PhD from Alaska. Amen. They only have GCSE. Amen. I have a big church. Who are those small pastors? Where are they? Those small pastors. They can't even come near me. We are not on the same level. In fact, all you that your churches are 100 and below, go this way. You that your churches are, you know, 500 and above, this way. Mega church, that way. Whether that will be in heaven, I don't know. Hallelujah. When you have a big church, it's a grace. It is not because of your power. And many times we just think, well, it's because of all the church, what do we call it now? Well, church growth seminar. I know those things are helpful, but stop boasting. Hallelujah. Well, it's because of what I did now, don't you know? Humble yourself. Even if it is all those things, still say, God, I thank you. It is from you. It is your power. Because there are other people who did the same thing, and it didn't work. So it's still God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of what I have. What do we have even? That God has not given us. That's what the Bible says. What do I have? What beauty are you showing us of? Give them on social media. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you shouldn't take selfies, because sometimes I do, because some people, they only too much. Every time, every day, every second. Hallelujah. Sometimes it is self. Sometimes it's pride. I want to show whatever. What are we showing even? Hallelujah. Those are the things we need to be careful about. It's because of what we think we have. I'm more gifted. I'm well known. I'm famous. And that's why there's so much pressure. So much pressure. To try to, you know, I want to become like this person. I want to become like that person. You see this person has gone, I need to do the same thing. The pressure is too much on us in this hour, in this generation. Why? Because many times, all those things are from the flesh. They're not from the spirit. Because it's the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Did you see the word pride again? The pride of life. Why do I want my child to go to this school? Because so person send their child to that school, and only the elite children, only the rich send their children to those schools. So I want to show something. I want to do, and then you get into debt. And then you are struggling. And then before you know it, you now take the child out and take him to public school. Hallelujah. All those things are the flesh. We have to check our motives. What is the reason? Oh, maybe people will think I'm no more anointed if I don't do certain things. I don't care. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us live under God, not for men. We are not living for men. We are not living for the world. Do you know that there are people who will pass through this life and their church might not be more than 200? Am I talking to somebody? Because sometimes it's about image, prestige. I want everybody to know. See, I see people writing things on Facebook. If your heart is that you want people to know, oh, they sit inside the aeroplane. I'm off to Dubai. I'm like, okay, who wants to know? The reason I want people to know is that I want them to think I'm really an international speaker that is flying everywhere. Today I'm in Dubai, tomorrow I'm in Timbuktu. You know, so that means that my ministry must be great. And so because your ministry is great, they want to invite you. Please let's stop all that nonsense. Hallelujah. It is not from the Father, it is from the world. It's not from the Father. It is only Father God that judges us and gauges us. It's not the world. So no matter what they think, it doesn't matter. It's whatever God thinks that matters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I talking to us today?
Yes.
My desire and my prayer is that after this message, we go before the Lord and ask Him to help us. This is not a pointing the finger message. This is a self-examination. And for me, when I read something or I God is teaching me something, I want to share it. And I begin to check my life. And that's why many of us, we need to all go through that test. Test of humility or test of pride. sometimes I test myself and I purposely do certain things to humble my flesh. So, okay, let's look at, I can't, why should I? You know, I was speaking to somebody who is in another city. So they are looking for a church. They've been to 3 churches. So we're looking at different ones. So she said, that one, I can't go there because the pastor is younger than me. I said, oh, yes. I said, did I hear a statement of pride there? Said, no, not really. It's not because of that, but there are other issues. Okay, maybe other issues, but don't mention that one. Amen. Because it's not about age. It's about grace. It's about calling. It's about assignment. Hallelujah. And so sometimes you will have to force yourself to do those things you have thought that you have. I can't invite you that. Thinking it in yourself. Force yourself to do it. Hallelujah. And so sometimes I do certain things. Some people, no, let's talk about this issue of man and son. Amen. I grew up, at the time I got born again, we were not used to calling people man and son, except they are older than us. How many of you were in the same boat with me? Except they are older, much older than us. That's when we use man and son. Well, now we are in a generation that everybody uses man and son for every minister of God. And I do understand, some people do that because they want to honor the person. It's a matter of choice. It's not something you are demanding. Hallelujah. I don't demand people calling me ma and carry my Bible. If you want to, it's your choice that you want to honor the grace. Not because of me, but because of the office that I stand in. So, but if you feel that that's not for me, nobody is going to be forcing you to call somebody ma. Hallelujah. It's your choice. It's the training that you give yourself. It's what you are putting yourself. There are some people I decide that I'm going to call them that because I'm trying to discipline my flesh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I check myself and it's like, oh, this thing I say, I can never do that. Okay, that's the thing you are going to do now. Just wake up. That's what you are going to do now. That thing you say you can never do. So it begins to train you. Amen.
Amen.
And bring you down. And humble you. So if you do that thing, will you die? Do it now. Let me see you. Ah, hallelujah. Die. I can't kneel down for anybody. Can't kneel down. Can't kneel down. I said, don't kneel down. You can't do it now. So I will kneel down. I just killed something. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you have to ask yourself questions. What is the reason I don't want to do this? If it is pride, I'm doing it. If it is not, then that's fine. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we need to understand that. Look at Saul in 1 Samuel 15, 16 to 17. He said, then someone said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? What was Samuel saying? God told Saul to kill all the Amalekites, including their kings. And he left the king and left all the animals and the sheep. And then God sent a message to him and said, when you were very little and very small in your eyes, you didn't have this chip on your shoulder. You were ready to do anything I said. But now you have graduated. You now have a chip on your shoulder. You are now king. Amen. Just like I said before, it's whatever we have, position, prestige, authority, that makes us want to be like that. Amen. So I'm saying to God, I want to always remain small in my own eyes. No matter which level that we get to. You know, when you make that kind of decision, people will take it for granted. People will take you for a ride. But it doesn't really matter. Amen. It doesn't matter because it is God. It is under God that we're doing this thing. And I know what God is doing in my life and I know what God wants to do in my life. So it doesn't matter if somebody laughs at you and say, look at you, you are just a fool. You are so weak. You are so weak. I was telling the team yesterday that, you know, we're talking about mercy and all that. And I said, it's better to, you know, err on the side of mercy. People will say, oh, you're such a weak leader. You're a weak leader. Thank you. But that is the way I want to operate. Hallelujah. So we need to understand this thing. It won't come without a price. But you are ready to go through the price. Whatever the price is. Praise the Lord. Look at Uzziah. Uzziah was a king who thought because he was a mighty king, and this is a man that God helped to get to where he was. But pride goes before a fall. He thought because he's now a king, he cannot be a priest. He cannot do the things that priests do. I'm going to do it because I'm king. Anyway, nobody can stop me. Oh, God is watching. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's not just man. God is watching. The king was meant to submit to the priest. Because he was, the priest was meant to be the one to offer this incense. But he came in and he thought because he had, dominion, he had every, he had control over the whole of Jerusalem and all that. He had control over the temple. Or he had control over the priest. So he went in there and wanted to. And they warned him. They withstood him. They said, you can't do that. It does not appertain to you. They said, who do you think you are? I'm the king. And I'm going to do it anyway. Hey! On the way to falling down. Hallelujah. And what happened to him? Leprosy. Immediately he did this, leprosy started from the head. And all that. May we not have leprosy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go quickly now. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things. But associate with the humble or with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't think you are better than others. Don't think they don't have anything. Hallelujah. Don't say, they are not in my category. Associate with the lowly. They might not have anything. But he said, associate with them. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low. For the humble in spirit will retain honor. It says also in 1 Peter 5:5, I'm just going to rush now because I want us to pray. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Younger people, how many younger people are here? Submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Clothe yourself with humility. Amen. For God resists the proud and gives to the humble. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. When some people disagree with us, how do we deal with it? Now I'm going to be just sharing some things with us that can be a test to see whether you're humble or you're proud. And then that will help you to go before the Lord and just say, God, help me. Amen. So, are you hurt when those you dislike are honored? Mordecai and Haman. Haman hated Mordecai with a passion. And now they are now telling him to go and honor him. Hey! It should have been me. That should have been me. Some of us don't say how God is inside them. Why are they giving so much credit to this person? After all, I'm always the first in church. I'm always the one that cleans the church. I'm always the one. Why are they honoring that person? God will help us.
Amen.
Pride starts from the heart. Before it manifests outside. If it's not dealt with on the heart, somebody will kill someone. I'm telling you. Because it will graduate and graduate and graduate. And before you know it, why are they doing that? Check yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you find it difficult to admit you are wrong? Do you always give excuses when you are corrected? Being defensive, always defensive. That's a sign of pride. Do you inwardly react when people criticize you? Hallelujah. Because even Jesus was criticized. We'll all be criticized. I know criticism can be painful. Hallelujah. It can be very painful. But we need to take it to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Do you enjoy sharing about your accomplishments too much? You know, there are some people, they talk about themselves all the time. They won't even let you talk. As you're going to add a hand and see what God did through me, you know, there's somebody who will call me and the only thing they're saying is they're talking about themselves. I'm not even able to put a word in. I'm just listening. So really, we thank God. Ah, praise God. Wonderful. Always talking about themselves. Self. I don't want to be full of self. I want to be full of God. Hallelujah. Are you more concerned about your reputation than God? Because many times it's not about us, it's about God. And sometimes there are things that will happen and you're thinking, oh, this happened to me. But no, it's God. Just lay it down. Let God fight your battle. Hallelujah. Do you give the impression that you have no problem? No problem at all. You are very perfect. And me, and in fact, I think sometimes I'm the opposite. Sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I think I'm too open, I'm too transparent, I'm too vulnerable. I'm always sharing my story when I'm preaching. I'm always sharing my life. Am I telling the truth? I'm always sharing my life. Even the ones that might make me look as if I'm not anointed, I will still share it. Hallelujah. But when we are giving impression to people, we don't want them to know what's going on in life. We come back. We want everybody to think we are very perfect. We are all that. Sometimes it's not like that. Amen. We need to begin to open up. I'm not talking about you sharing your whole life to the whole world. Or sharing certain important aspects or, you know, people will be carrying. That's not what I'm talking about, because there is a balance. There must be a balance. It's not that you are not opening everything that happens in your bedroom on the pooping. That's not what we're saying. But we're talking about a vulnerability, a transparency. You know, certain people can never go to some people to pray for them. Why would you pray for me? Why? Because I can pray for myself. I even hear God. Why would I go? Let me tell you something. I don't care. The way God ordained it, we all need somebody. He did it in such a way that you can't say, I have it all. We all need somebody. I was saying to my husband the other day, I said, look at Moses. Moses was described as a prophet, more than a prophet. He saw God face to face. He spoke to God face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. I don't know who has that relationship in the Old Testament. But what happened? His father-in-law came to tell him what to do. And he listened. He didn't say, I'm a prophet. I hear God every day. Me and God, we sleep on the same bed. And he tells me, you are still human. Amen? There is a place for men in your life. It's not just God. Today I was thinking about the gift of men. The gift of men. The gift of people. God gives us people as a gift. There's something they can do in your life that you can't do yourself. In your secret place of prayer. Hallelujah. If not, God doesn't need to anoint anybody. Everybody, come to God yourself. But God wants to humble us. That's why I put those things in there. There are some people, I remember I've told this story before. This man of God is going to be with the Lord now, Derek Prince. How many of you know Derek Prince? He's a deliverance major. One time he was in America, and this is a man that God has used powerfully all over the world. That you can see that, you know, he's healed the sick, God has used him to heal the sick, deliver the oppressed. Suddenly he was sick. And he was dealing with it. And God helped the body of Christ. The way we just put down each other. The fact that you pray for someone and they are healed doesn't mean God cannot use them for you the next day. Am I talking to somebody? So, one man came from UK, flew in when he heard that he was sick. This is a canon in an Anglican church, not even Pentecostal. The man came and said, the Lord said I should come and pray for you. What would have been the response of a mighty, mighty man of God like that? Maybe he would have said, you, come and pray for me. When did you get born again? In fact, you were not born when I was preaching. They have not given birth to you at all. You are still in heaven. When you come and pray for me. But he didn't do that. He humbled himself. He received from him. And he prayed. Does that mean that a priest has lost his anointing? No! But it's a test of our humility. God will orchestrate some situations to ensure that you humble yourself. He will allow it to happen. But are those people you said, I can never go to them, that you will find yourself even in front of them. Did I even get here? Hallelujah. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? Because when you begin to have this kind of attitude that I hear from God, nobody can talk to me, you are heading for a fall. Serious one. So I'm always saying, God, I'm sorry. Father, God, I'm sorry. I won't say that again. I won't do that again. You know, sometimes I'll see some books and I'm like, people are, see this book. Not even read this one. What did they even, look at the way it's looking. The printing is all nice. The pages are glued together. This one and that one. Who even wrote the book? I say, hey, that is pride. Go and read that book. Now, even if it is your son that wrote it and he's 2 years old, go and read that book. Hallelujah. The other day I was flicking through the TV and I saw this lady. You know, I'm like, she was writing about something about hearing God and all that. You know, like you just pray like this, you know, let me look for those deep men of God that have there, you know, that so you better go back and listen to what I get, I'm saying. So I went back there, put it on. Yeah, I'm watching. You see, we can't be judging people by the way they look. By the time I finish this, I say, Father, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Amen. Because there's nobody you can't learn from. There's nobody. May we, God help us to humble ourselves.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to be rounding up. Wow, time is going. I hope you are getting something. I am gaining a lot. Okay. I'll just run through the rest. Do you give impressions? Okay. Do you do things for praise and compliments? The Bible says we should do everything in love, not out of vain glory. So anything you are doing, just check it. This is our litmus test. Check it. Am I doing it for people to praise me? Remember a church where we used to be many, many years ago. This woman was so upset. I said, what's the matter? I've been bringing flowers to the church. Nobody. They don't even appreciate me. They don't recognize what I've done. Then they will be singing other people's praise. Then they won't say anything about me. I said, did you do it for the pastor?
Okay.
I said, no, did you do it for pastor? Then you take praise from pastor. But if you did it for God, let God be the one to reward you. Let him be the one to reward you. Don't complain. Too much complaint. Do you accept praise rather than deflecting it? And enjoying that praise. Or say, we give God the glory. Some of them will say, it's not just God. You also did it too. So we are also thanking you. But I give God all the glory still. Because he's the one that did it through me. Hallelujah. Do you react when you do not receive credit you are due? I've mentioned about that. Do you feel too important? Do you compare yourself to others rather than God? Are you teachable or are you unteachable? When people are speaking, are you thinking that you can do better than them? You see that a lot in churches. The pastor is preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, very shallow. Very shallow. What do they know? Maybe I can just get that microphone. Ah! I can do better than that. By the time I start preaching like this, the whole place will be on fire. Everybody will be rolling on the floor. They can just give me the opportunity. That's why you don't have the opportunity. Because that is the heart. That is the, you know. You know some people, you'll be preaching. Instead of them to listen, they'll just be gauging. They'll be gauging. Send me you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Let's see the English that she's going to use now. The vocabulary. Zero. It shows that this one doesn't have PhD. She didn't go to Bible school. That is nothing. That's pride. Hallelujah. That's pride. You see some people, honestly, and these things we must understand. They immediately they get the microphone. Everything they have learned, they want to tell you that day. They want to offload it. I have an opportunity now. Now! Yes. According to the Hebrew, in 1865. And then they will start their thoughts. Because that day they must download everything. Humility, meekness, is power under control. I have it, but I'm not using it. Amen. I don't need anybody to know. I don't need to. Today I was praying. I said, God, please deliver me from the temptation to try to prove to people that I'm anointed. Do you understand what I just said now? There is a temptation, especially when people don't believe you, to try to prove. That's acting in the flesh. I don't need to prove anything. If God is going to use him, let him use me. Hallelujah. I don't need to prove anything. If you like, say I'm not anointed, I don't care. Because when you are like that, that's when you will now be pressured to go and do what you shouldn't do. Mm. Pressure too much. I want to prove to them. Then you will lie. You, come here. I see you, I see you. Meanwhile, God did not show you anything. The pressure to be accepted. For them to continue to hail you as the woman of God for the hour. So every week I must manifest. I must manifest. So that they will come back next week. And then you will miss it. You go and give somebody a wrong prophecy. Pressure. And some of you that come to the prophetic school, you know we mention this. We mention it all the time. Don't let people pressure you. Sometimes you are in a place, you can see their eyes. You are giving people prophecy and they want you to call them. They want you to, meanwhile, you don't have any word for them. And then you'll get into trouble. Hallelujah. And then you start doing all kinds of gymnastics. I remember a lady who told me, said, we were going to do something in a church. She said, I'm not going to that church. Why? I just kept asking her, what is wrong? And she told me, this man of God came to the house I was staying because she was staying with the pastors at the time. And the man of God was staying there. And so when he came, he was talking to her, chatting with her, asking her questions. And she was telling him. So he goes to the church in the evening. You, come out. All the things that he has already told him. He started saying them. God forbid that I get into that kind of thing. Hallelujah. And that's very, very important. And that's why, you know, when you are dead to self, it doesn't really matter. It won't matter anymore. Amen. It won't matter who gets the credit. Amen. I don't need to show anything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm praying that God will minister to us and that we will continue to humble ourselves. Now this last bit, I'm going to just read this through. I got this from a lady called Janet Chisma. And there were some things she said, and I will run through it. Number one, it says 12 ways to humble ourselves. 12 ways. One is that we should confess our sins to God. All of us have sinned. Sometimes we fall short of the glory of God. However, some people just don't know that they need to confess their sins. You know, sometimes if you allow certain things to fester and to keep going and you don't repent of it immediately, your heart will start getting hardened. And next time, you won't feel any conviction the way you are feeling. And your conscience will start allowing you to do certain things. And you start excusing it and saying, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't feel anything anyway. I don't know what you're feeling. Oh, how did you get to the place where you're not feeling anything? In the first place. Amen? We should be very quick to repent. Very quick to ask for mercy. Very quick to say, God, I'm so sorry. Don't leave it until next week. Amen? Do it immediately. Number two, acknowledge your sins to others. Humility before God is not complete until there is humility before men. When some people stand on the pulpit and as leaders, humble themselves and confess to their congregation and, you know, and some people, like, instead of saying to say, wow, what a humility, we thank God for this man. It's not easy for anybody to stand before people to confess anything. But for them to be able to do that, That's humility. Instead of now judging them. Hallelujah. So it's one leg when we are humble before God. The other leg, humble before me. The Bible tells us in the book of James, he said that we should confess our fault to one another, not only to God, to one another, so that we can be healed. Some people can never say sorry. Sorry. Maybe in their sleep. But sorry is therapeutic. It is very healing. Amen? So it is important that we do that, that we also confess our faults to one another. You find a lot, and that's what I was saying when we had our women leadership conference, that a lot of ministers, they don't even have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody they can say, my friend, my sister, I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? Because some of the people you will tell, they're saying, inside of them, so they are going through this. And we always invite them to speak. So they can't even help themselves. So they stop inviting you. And because of this fear of, they won't invite me back, they'll start looking at me that, she's powerless. She doesn't have anointing. You don't share. And that's how I was telling about somebody who committed suicide. How would the pastor of a mega church commit suicide? Nobody to talk to now, because they will look at him and say, Pastor, I was looking up to you now. How come you are going through this? Hallelujah. Meanwhile, they are dying on the inside. They are suffering, but they can't open up to anybody because they don't want to lose that edge of the man of God for the hour. Hallelujah. Actively submit to authority. In fact, before I get to that one, 1 Peter 3, 8-17. Take wrong patiently. Sometimes people will wrong us. We will flare up. God will help me, number one. Hallelujah. But help us to take wrong patiently. To be patient. So you have to do some things intentionally. To do it on purpose. To train yourself to be humble. Actively submit to authority. The good and the bad. Whether you are agreeing, you are not in agreement. One of the persons that taught me about submission, that really dealt with me to the core, was two people actually, John Bevere and this man, this Indian man. Pastor Neil will know the name. We bought the book in church and we were giving it to people. I've forgotten his name now. The book is titled Touching Godliness Through Submission. I remember we bought it in church and we gave it to some of our leaders to read. We always give GFA, we give money to him. Yes, GFA. Those two books really ministered to me. John Bevere was one of those people that really ministered to my soul. That I made up my mind that, God, I want to go on this journey with you. I'm not going to do this anymore. Praise the Lord. Because submission does not equal agreement. You might not agree, but submit. Amen. Amen. That's humility. It's humility. Hallelujah. K.F. Johanna. Yes. K.P. Johanna. That's the one. And I love those man's books because they are so down to earth. When he preaches like this, it will pierce you. You will cry. You know there are some books you will read. You will drop it and go on your knees straight away. And you start crying. God, Lord. Hallelujah. Our culture does not value submission. We are in a generation where there's so much rebellion. Rebellion against authority. You see all over the internet, they are calling the fathers of the faith by name. Adeboye, this one did this. Hey, I said, I feel sorry for these people. They don't know what they are doing at all. Hallelujah. This generation promotes a lot of individualism. You know, I'm doing by myself. I don't need anybody else. How purposely and actively do you work on submission to those God has placed over you as authority figure? It's not about edge. Because it's something that God is supervising part time. And it's going to determine how far you are going. Amen?
Amen?
Very, very important. And we need to understand that. Because a long time I refrained from preaching this. Because sometimes you preach this and you say, she doesn't want us to be bowing to her. But that's not it. You want people to know the truth. That's the way I live my life. Hallelujah. There are some people that will never send me a text or call me and I will be there saying, I'll call them in 2 days. I'll call them in 2 days, Nigeria. There are some people, just because of the way I carry them, as if it's God, I will not do certain things. That's just me. Me and my relationship with God. And if I do that, it's like rebuke from the Lord, not just man now. Praise God. Receive correction and feedback from others graciously. Proverbs 10:17. Proverbs 12:1. A soft answer. Hallelujah. Accept a lonely place. I'm just going to go through quickly. If you find yourself wanting to sit at the head of the table or in front, see, some people will go to a meeting, it's like, see how the pastor came and went to sit there. They are the ones that promoted him. Hallelujah. But some people will say, they don't even know who I am. I'm the couple. They will come. They don't even know anybody in that place. They will just go and sit in the front with the big Bible. You know, but even Jesus told us that we should go and take the back seat. Praise the Lord. Let them wait for them to call you to come and see them. Hallelujah. And some people will get annoyed. They put me at the back. They don't know who I am. Do you even know who I am? Hallelujah. You know, the other time I went somewhere and some people were, they did something very, very wrong and I was really not happy about it. I was upset. But all these hotels that they don't know what they're doing. I said, I'm entitled to free breakfast. They said, no. I said, I paid for it. They said, no. They said, you're not. Anyway, I just left them. So they did it. They kept hounding me. Can you imagine? Keep hounding you. Where else would they do that? Our country. They keep hounding you. Hounding you. You have to pay for that breakfast you have. Me. I said, I'm even eating every day. I'm eating lunch, dinner. And I'm putting it on my room. How much is that breakfast? I'm not going to pay you. Because I'm even entitled to it. After a while, I was so annoyed. So I said to them, do you know who I am? Do you know me? Sorry, ma'am. I said, how dare you? Do you know who I am? I was almost going to say, do you know how many names of my life? And the Lord almost said to you, who are you? Go and sit down, my friend. you know there's some places you go. Maybe that you are controlling thousands, so when you go there, they don't know. Who are you? Leave this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You don't even want to know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Choose to serve others. Choose to serve. Amen. When we serve others, we are serving God's purposes. If not then, we are serving God. Hallelujah. When Elijah was pouring water on the hand of Elijah, he wasn't just doing it because of this. He was doing it unto the Lord. Because he understands that. He understands that principle. Jesus said, whoever honors you, honors me. So it's not the person, it's God that you are doing it to. And God is very big on honor. He's very big on honor. Now honor is not just coming from all African countries, no. John Bevere wrote a book on honor. Honor's reward. And he has some books, workbook that people can take their whole congregation through it. If you're able to take your congregation through that, you have peace. Amen. Because everybody will understand what should happen. Praise the Lord. Be quick to forgive. Forgiveness is possible. Possibly one of the greatest acts of humility we can do. When you know that this person deserves, see what they did to me. They deserve to be. Forgive them. They are talking about mercy, how we need to The mercy seat was placed upon the Ark of the Covenant, inside the tabernacle. The mercy seat was upon the Ark, inside the Ark was the Ten Commandments, the law. The law that if you miss it like this, you are gone. But God placed the mercy seat to remind him that mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. So we should be quick to forgive. What is it? If could be saying, Lord, forgive them when they were stoning him. They were even killing him. I wrote that on Facebook. I said, what can be worse than being killed? What else can somebody do greater than that? None. So if he can say, for that was so Christ-like. I don't think it's myself. I don't know. Hey, I'm not even there yet. Holy Spirit. Fire must burn them. All of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. I must make sure they pay. They must pay for it. No. Drop the charges. Drop the charges.
Amen.
Against them. Cultivate a grateful heart. The more we develop an attitude, I hope you are writing down, the more we develop an attitude of gratitude for the gift we have, the more true our perspective of self becomes. When we are very grateful, we won't think ourselves more highly than we ought. Because we know that everything we have is from God. So you are always grateful, always grateful, always grateful. Then you won't be thinking, oh, I'm all that. No. Hallelujah. I pray that we'll walk through all this. Steps, one after the other. Number two more. Purpose to speak well of others. Sometimes that is hard. Say negative things about others to put them down. You know, also, you know, shows the pride in our lives. Finally, treat pride as a condition that always necessitates embracing the cross. It is our nature, human nature, to be proud. Remember, we have been taken from the dust of the earth. When you look at the earth, when you dig the earth, I learned this from my former pastor, meaning almost 30 years ago. When you dig the earth, and now you want to put it back, most times that place does not get back to the way it was. Have you noticed? Even when they dig, you've not noticed. Hallelujah. It doesn't go back. You have to step in. It's not really, it's always possible. Because we are also from the dust of the earth. And so then that haughtiness and being puffed up, that is natural to human beings, except the Lord, except the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And that's why it must be a constant thing to push it down. Humble yourself. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, oh God, make me humble. Eh? You don't want to pray that prayer. Because if God humbles you, hey, you will be humiliated. Until you say, ah, God, I'm so sorry. Ah, this one is even worse than if I humble myself. You know, it will just, humiliation, open one. God will help us all. In the name of Jesus. Can we stand? I hope we've gained something. This is not a preaching act. It's just sharing the hand of God on this matter so that we can all be aligned. We are all wanting to be like Jesus. We want to look like Jesus. We want to talk like Jesus. And like I said, I have to go through an exercise. I want to show, I want to just do. So I will do something on purpose just to train myself to be humble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just to train myself to be humble. If somebody is not greeting you, go and greet them. Hallelujah. It doesn't remove anything from you. It doesn't remove any wind from your feather. Hallelujah. It doesn't reduce your anointing. In fact, it increases it. Hallelujah. I want to say, oh, I didn't speak to my husband yesterday. It should be the first person to come and say sorry. Just stay there. Let him be the first person to say sorry. I'm not going to say sorry. And our flesh is enjoying it. God will help us because it's the flesh. That's not the spirit. But even if you are the one wrong and you just, let me go on. I just want peace. I want peace in this house. And that's it. That ends the whole thing. Hallelujah. Humility. God helps us on this. And I must say that there are some levels we will not get to until we pass this step over and over again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can we just lift our hands?